Hello, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of Exploring Life. I'm just laughing because each day when I wake up, my voice is like super deep and then it kind of like settles. So if I sound like a man, it's because I am a man. Just wanted to get that out of the water. And if that's the first time you're hearing it, hey, I'm out. I'm a trans man. And that can be another post later, but for this one, I really want to talk about, what life is like, open-minded versus closed-minded, curious versus not curious, ignorant versus knowing more, and encourage people who think that it's, good to just be closed-minded and have no desire to experience what it's like being open-minded, to just, you know, put it out there, and if people want to explore it, awesome. If people don't want to explore it, that's fine. I'm a firm believer that we come here to experience all that is, whether you believe that's one life, multiple probabilities all at once, whatever theory you want to believe into. I think that God delights in our creation and how we decide to live and what we explore. So this is kind of like a treatise to encourage people to become more open-minded, curious, and looking into learning more as much as they can, because doing so has absolutely changed my life. And I always try to share with people what has changed my life and has helped me positively, because I want to help other people positively. So first off, I want to talk about what it means to be open-minded versus closed-minded. So a closed-minded person is often a person who puts the behavior, so they aren't essentially closed-minded as their essence, but personally, either through conditionings, ideas, belief systems, different things within culture, society, religion, can encourage people to act closed-minded, because it's a way to make sure that person doesn't leave the barriers or boundaries imposed by that society, culture, religion, family, tradition, and so forth. And so it seems like at first, like, when did I find value in closed-mindedness? Well, see, it doesn't benefit you in that way. It benefits society, culture, and tradition and religion through control. So it can benefit you as an experience, but in regards to growth, the best way I can explain it is, if you're in a bubble and you never go out of the bubble and you live your whole entire life in a bubble, you will only experience so much. That's like the bubble represents being closed-minded. However, if you pop that bubble and you start to explore France and Canada and different areas, you will grow in your experience. And by growing and by experiencing more, you add more to your being. So similarly, yes, it's okay to be closed-minded. It's an experience, just like it's okay to be open-minded, because it's an experience. And I'm not basing value on duality. I'm basing value on experience. And so I don't see open-mindedness or closed-mindedness as right versus wrong, good versus bad, because then I would be perpetuating the systems of religion, culture, tradition, society, which all have their own morality standards. And I don't want to induce or force my own morality, because personally I'm not identified with a particular system, because I know that my system may benefit me, but it may definitely not benefit someone else. And that's okay, and I recognize that. So, and that goes with being open-minded. I wouldn't think like this if I was not open-minded. So that's another reason why I really encourage people to look into being more open-minded and curious and wanting to learn, because you expand your current perception and you open it. It's almost like, imagine if with your eyesight, you can only see about let's say 20 feet in front of you very clear, and then everything else is blurry. And whenever you go on trips and everything like that, you can only see that close. And it's neither good or bad, it's just what you have. But then let's say that you get a prescription. And so seeing 20 feet is your current perspective. That's your current point of view. That's your current amount of visible perception. When you get glasses, now you can see 200 feet in front of you, and to the left, and to the right, and behind you. And all of a sudden, your perception has increased. And not only that, but you're able to pick up on things that maybe you didn't really focus on because you couldn't focus on it. It wasn't in your peripheral. It wasn't in your vision because it was too far off to touch. Maybe it was like, a bird in the sky and you can never see the details. Or maybe it was a certain cloud. I don't know. But anyway, it opens your perception and widens your perspective. Now let's say they come out and they give you laser eye surgery, and all of a sudden you can see very, very clearly 600 feet in front of you, and you are blown away. The clarity, the perception, you've never seen things so clear before, you've never seen things so connected before, and you're blown away, and it's like a beautiful new world. Now let's apply that to open-mindedness and closed-mindedness. So when you're closed-minded, you can't really see things as they truly are because you're seeing things according to how you view it. When you open your perspective, when you open your perception, you're allowing yourself to see things how you normally don't see things. See, because you grew up with your own conditionings, your own ideas, your own belief systems from your family, society, culture, that creates a certain way to see things. But when you're curious and open to seeing how other people see things, it doesn't mean you lose who you are. It doesn't mean you have to lose your beliefs. It simply means you recognize other people's beliefs as valid ways that are real to them. And this allows you to have more sympathy, empathy, love, and acceptance for people who may not have been born into your same exact situation. And also vice versa. So I'm going to go into some personal examples of how this has changed my life. All my life, I have had this insatiable desire to learn, to grow, and be curious and open-minded. At times, it would wax and wane, but it always sticked with me. I think that was just a part of who I was as a person. I love to learn. I love learning from everyone and everything. I think you can learn from a baby, I think you can learn from a cloud, a blade of grass, an 80-year-old, everyone. And so I've always, for some reason, I've had this mentality ever since as long as I've known. And the first thing that I explored very, very, very deeply, I remember, is sports when I was a kid, video games, and then eventually, around fifth grade, it was religion. My mom got me my own Bible, and I would bring that to the readings for fifth grade when we had to be like silently reading, and I would read that religiously because I wanted to understand it. I was told that this book was my access to God, and so I took that very seriously, those claims that I grew up hearing. And because I trust my mom and dad, and I took that and I ran with it. And I was like, okay, well, if this is my access to God, if this is how I will know God more, I need to know it because God is the most important thing. And so I started literally doing like apologetics on Yahoo Answers. And I would go bat to bat with atheists, with pagans, and I would explain to them why they were wrong and why my religion was right. So in short, I was replicating and I was expressing my current belief systems based off of what I have read. And I only read the Bible. That was the only religion I was exposed to in the place of reading material from it. So I didn't actually read like atheist articles. I didn't actually read pagan articles. I didn't actually read other scriptures from other religions. I would see what they would write on Yahoo Answers, but enough to be able to create a rebuttal that I was pleased with. When I got older, I kept on exploring. I love to explore the dynamic in relationships and friendships. And in high school, I got very involved in Bayside Church, and I became a leader, and I was leading a lot. I was leading in a small group Bible study. I was helping people. I was helping out, making sure there was food. I did literally over summer, I dedicated like my whole entire summer to Bible study camps and training different kids, and I like to joke around and say indoctrinating them, because that is the actual definition, but in short, sharing my belief system and making sure that they believe how I believed. Fast forward, and around the time I was leaving high school, they actually had me with another awesome woman do like a sermon on like student-led night, and I was like, whoa, this is amazing. I can't even believe I'm up here. And I was just really involved. And then the time I got to college, that's when I started to really explore more of Christianity. I realized that there was more than just one denomination, and I learned that way back when I was like with my family and everything, and they were trying to explain it. But when I got to college, I was like, no, there's not just like some, there's like 41,000 different denominations of Christianity. And the more I learned, the more I realized, oh my goodness, this is a lot more complicated than they taught me. I realized that there were a lot of different versions of the Bible. There was a lot of incongruency with actual scripture being considered scripture, because we do not have the original copies of any manuscripts from the Bible, and therefore there was no way to authenticate the claims that things were meant to be in the Bible, because we don't have any originals, and that's a fact. And I learned a lot that was shocking to me. I studied under a ton of different denominations, not only their doctrines, but I literally went to their churches. I went to Baptists, Pentecostals, Charismatics. I went with the fundamental evangelicals, the liberal Christians, the Methodists, Unitarians. I then eventually started studying other religions. I studied the Baha'i faith, Sikhism, Sufism, Islam, Judaism, so many different types, Christian mysticism, Jewish mysticism. And I realized that when I started learning, when I started expanding my perception and I started learning from other people's point of view, I realized initially how narrow my point of view was years and years ago, and how I just considered it truth and I never questioned it. And I thought to myself, okay, if I did this, and I didn't even realize I was doing this, that I was being narrow-minded and closed-minded, and I wasn't able to grasp higher perceptions because I wasn't aware of them, I wonder how many other people are doing this. And it kind of hit me. I was like, oh my gosh, is this what they mean when they say ignorance is bliss? When they point out that it's almost like a bliss to not know or to not explore, because you're in your own little bubble, your own little world, and you think everything's correct, and then you never have it shattered because you never challenge it. And it made me think about this quote. I don't know who it's from, but they talk about how if you never, the true failure in life is someone who has never tried, someone who has never failed. The person who never tries, who never fails, is the true failure. The person who fails 1,000 times and then has a success, that's a winner. That is the markings of a champion, of a successful person. Because even though they failed multiple times, they came out successful. And so I didn't want to be that first person where I was just in a bubble and I just took whatever people indoctrinated me with, whatever they grew up with and shared down the line. I didn't just want to take that and believe it was 100% true and never challenge it. And I was a firm believer that I should be able to challenge everything. And if it doesn't add up, if it doesn't, you know, it's like the foundation, if it crumbles, then it wasn't really that beneficial in the first place. And I'm grateful that I challenged it, because why would I want a foundation that's crumbly and not beneficial? And that's when I started to realize that a lot of the beliefs that I grew up with were sourced in a crumbly foundation, a house built on sand, as Jesus would say, where the source, the foundation of so many doctrines that I wholeheartedly believed in were actually sourced in fear, guilt, and shame, and were a huge reason to my inability to accept myself and being the victim and hurting myself by these doctrines, by the fear and guilt and shame in them. And I think the part where everything switched, the part that dramatically changed, is when I stopped looking at belief systems. Because once you go from one belief system to another and you identify with this one, then you disidentify and then you identify with a new belief system, you start to realize that, wait, I'm more than my beliefs. I'm constantly changing them. Beliefs are kind of like pennies at this point. Like, they're not very important because they're just constantly changing. And I started to realize, wait, there's something more than focusing on just disidentifying and identifying with a new set of belief systems. And that's when I started to focus on what I do know and what could teach me valid things that are not based in belief systems, but based in reality, based in what you can see, principles, theories, ideas that are rooted and grounded in mathematics and physics. And that's when I got super into mathematics, physics, and quantum physics. When I started learning about that, I realized it made so much sense. And it made so much more sense than belief systems, because it was actually something that you could verify. It wasn't just some idea that a group of people collectively agreed to believe in, but it goes beyond that. It says, here's the math, here's the physics, and here it is. We've tested it, we've tried it, this makes sense. And that was very comforting to me. That was very cool to me. And the fact that it was still growing, that we were constantly finding new things out about the universe in a way that could be verifiable, was so interesting to me. So I started learning a lot about that, and I'm still very interested in this. And what I started to do was I realized, you know, these painful doctrines that I used to believe in that were sourced in fear, guilt, and shame, and that did more hurt than benefit to me, I want to be able to help other people release themselves from these painful doctrines that don't serve them. And realistically, I didn't want to just trade one belief for another belief. I didn't want to just trade in one penny for another penny, because I didn't want to create another idea, religion, thought process that wasn't sourced on a good foundation. I wanted someone to go beyond believing, and I wanted them to know that what they're believing is not beneficial, and to show that it literally doesn't make any sense using quantum physics. And so that's when I started to create TikToks dismantling and showing the faulty foundation of doctrines within religions that are sourced in fear, guilt, and shame, and show how they literally do not make sense according to quantum physics. And I've been very passionate about that, because to me, when you face a belief system with math and physics, the belief system doesn't stand a chance. Because what does a belief system have? It has faith. Faith in things unseen. And so at that point, everything that has faith is on common grounds, because No one has seen it and they're all believing. And so if you bring up to a belief system and compare it to physics and mathematics, it will not be able to stand if it is able to be verified. And so what I do on TikTok is I take quantum physics principles and I explain and apply it. And I show that these doctrines that are rooted in fear, guilt, and shame are not important, not beneficial, and they're just, there's no reason to put your faith in them, to believe into them. And yeah, that's something I'm super passionate about. Back to being open-minded and closed-minded. So part of me getting to this point, though, is being able to understand and recognize that people create division where there is no division. And before you come at me, again, this is not rooted in a belief system. This is rooted in quantum physics. And so if you want to learn more about this, you know, just learn quantum physics. But if you recognize there's very simple things that you can look into that don't require a lot of brain processing power. Like, you don't have to learn the mathematics to be able to at least comprehend to a point a quantum physics principle. I highly recommend meditating before or after you take in quantum physics principles, because they're not based entirely on a space-time paradigm where they're limited in the sense of how we see things limited in classical physics. They often perform in mind-bending ways that don't necessarily go how we plan. And so that allows for people to expand their mind because it doesn't go how we expect it. So that's a beautiful part of quantum physics, is it is mind-bending and it goes beyond how we expect it. And I think focusing on that will humble us and also make us realize, like, you know, yeah, this belief system, if I want to believe it, okay, totally fine. But let me explore this. And so now you might be wondering, okay, well, Kai, do you even believe in a belief system? Like, do you even believe in a certain denomination of Christianity? Like, what is currently going on? And I would say I see beliefs like I see pennies, and I see reality, or simply knowing, as priceless. And what I mean by that is, all throughout my life, my beliefs have constantly changed based off of family, culture, tradition, society, different denominations of Christianity, religion, and science, and so forth. However, reality has always verified its claims, and I never had to worry about what I saw because I knew that what I saw was what was going on at the moment. That was the most important thing for me. And so again, using quantum physics, what is verifiable to me based off of quantum physics is that I create my own reality. I'm not a victim to Satan. I'm not a victim to God. I take full responsibility for every single thing that I have created in my life, because to me, that is completely verifiable. I can verify those claims because that's something I can verify. It's not something invisible to me that I haven't seen. It's, I worked hard. I paid for this computer. And so the reality that I've created is I have a computer. I chose certain friends to be in my small group that I really love and adore and try very hard to be a good friend to. And those friends are in my small group, and that's the reality that I've created. I am living in a certain place because I chose to live here. That is the reality I created. I chose to go to San Diego State University and get a bachelor's in computer science because that is the reality that I created. And that is also rooted and grounded in quantum physics. So that is the most important thing for me. So I might have certain beliefs that might seem more enticing or might seem more preferable to other beliefs, but I don't identify with belief systems. So it's like if you were to look at a mirror. When you look at the mirror, there you are, you see yourself, and then when you walk away from the mirror, you're no longer there. The mirror is now reflecting something else. So I may reflect other people's belief systems that they identify with the intention to maybe show them something to expand and go beyond, but I'm not identified with a belief system. So I'm not tied down. I don't put my identity in one denomination of Christianity, because I've already went from identifying, disidentifying so many times that I recognize it's not even important. It's not important to me. It doesn't lessen my relationship with God or add to it more by thinking one way or another. The thing is when I did identify with the particular belief system, this is personal, everyone can be different, but I was extremely prideful. I thought I knew everything. I thought this belief system was the most correct on earth, and I looked down on people who didn't believe the same way I did. And I remember that mentality was very toxic for me, because it stopped me from learning as much as I wanted to learn from other people at the time, because I was closed off, because I thought I knew the most through the belief system that was given to me. And granted, this behavior was taught by the particular people at the church that I was attending, but at the end of the day, I take full responsibility for allowing that belief system to become my belief system and identifying with it. And so for me, it's not beneficial to be like that, to believe that my belief system is the most correct out of all others, that I'm doing it the most right and other people aren't. And that closed me off a lot from learning. So now I don't identify with belief systems. I identify with my true essence, which is love, because I am one with God. You are one with God. We are all essentially one. And that idea of oneness is also a quantum physics principle. If you look into the properties of energy, it's a lot simpler than we make it out to be. Energy is one. That's that. And that's a fact, and it's verifiable, and it's true, and quantum physics can prove it. And so, that's pretty much where I'm at, is I value reality. I value that I create my own reality, and that's about it. Open-mindedness, curiosity has helped me stay open and has helped me learn from so many people, not just within, but without Christianity, different families, societies, cultures, traditions, everywhere. Highly recommend it. It has changed my life for the better. And if you have any questions, please reach out. I love to answer them. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day. I love you all. And yeah, see you soon.